From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, those open lines followed by a tribute to the late astronomer and Coast to Coast guest, Dr. Tom Van Flandern. The latest National Food Safety Investigation took an urgency as federal officials have now confirmed the salmonella contamination from a Georgia facility that ships peanut products to 85 food companies around the United States. The outbreak has sickened hundreds of people in 43 states, killed at least six. Although the investigation has gone into high gear now, the FDA officials say much of their information remains sketchy and new cases are still being reported. Meanwhile, Kellogg Company, that's the huge cereal company, and Cookie Company, they're recalling now 16 products containing peanut butter, citing the possible salmonella contamination. David McKay, president and CEO of Kellogg, announced the voluntary recall in a statement late today. He says the company apologizes for the unfortunate situation, but says it is needed as part of its commitment to keep you safe. The recall includes Austin and Keebler branded peanut butter sandwich crackers, as well as the snack-sized packs of famous Amos peanut butter cookies and Keebler soft batch homestyle peanut butter cookies. Electronics retailer Circuit City is to close after failing to reach a deal with its creditors and lenders with the loss of now 30,000 jobs. Liquidators will now sell off the firm's assets. The announcement comes 2 months after the firm was forced to seek bankruptcy protection. Some 567 Circuit City stores will now shut down for the last time. About 155 stores had already closed in December. Pfizer plans to lay off 2,400 people, or nearly a third of its 8,000 salespeople force. A Pfizer spokesperson declined to comment on the reports, which comes the same week as the pharmaceutical company confirmed it is laying off up to 800 scientists and researchers. Citigroup plans to split now into two units, and Bank of America took $20 billion in government aid after the two banks suffered huge quarterly losses from the worsening credit lines. The world's major banks continue to strain under the global economic crisis, with British lender now Barclays, their shares sliding on concerns that it might not have enough capital to cope with write-downs. Who warned us a long time ago about all this? Gerald Celente, founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. Gerald, these stores are falling like hotcakes, aren't they?
Yes, and unfortunately, this is just the beginning of the collapse of 2009, as we had predicted. It's going to happen in the retail sector. We're going to be looking, George, at some probably 150,000 retail stores that are going to close in 2009. And not only will about 700,000 jobs be lost, but the real question becomes, who's going to rent these big empty spaces? And the answer is nobody. So we're going to see the beginning of the commercial real estate collapse. You mentioned the numbers coming out with Bank of America and Citigroup in trouble. They're laying off people and have laid off a lot of people. So we're going to have a lot of commercial real estate on the market, and the leverage in that market is far greater than what we saw in the subprime problem. It's way, way more leveraged, and it's going to create a great crisis. And we have to look at what's going on with these banks, and it is a reality that the banking system in the United States and around the world is failing before our eyes.
And what is new, though, Gerald? What can they come up with worldwide?
They cannot come up with anything. There's no way they could print up enough money to bail them out. You see the money, these numbers they keep throwing out, $20 billion on top of $130 billion for each bank, and the numbers just keep growing. We don't know what's going to happen, but we are reading that something dramatic in the banking system is going to happen after the inauguration.
All right, Gerald Celente, his website, trendsresearch.com. I urge you to go up there and take a look at it. Israel said it was approaching the end game now of its three-week offensive against Gaza's Hamas rulers and scheduled a security cabinet vote Saturday there in just a few hours now on a truce proposed by Egypt under the ceasefire plan. Fighting would stop immediately for 10 days but Israeli forces would initially remain in Gaza and the border crossings into the territory would remain closed until security arrangements are made to ensure Hamas militants simply do not rearm. The Department of Justice has opened a file on imprisoned U.S. Border Patrol agents Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion, and a commutation of their sentences is under review now. And that's good news. The men remain confined to solitary confinement in federal prison, serving 11 to 12 years in jail for a 2005 incident in which they fired on a drug smuggler as he fled back into Mexico after bringing 750 pounds of marijuana into the United States through Texas. That drug smuggler has since been arrested on another drug charge. Actor Patrick Swayze has been released from a hospital 1 week after checking himself in with pneumonia. Swayze left the hospital and is resting now at home. Swayze has had a year-long battle with pancreatic cancer, checked himself into a hospital January 9th for observation after contracting pneumonia. The 56-year-old actor had been working on a drama series, The Beast, which premiered this week on A&E, this being Friday. Don't forget your Friday prayer moment for everyone, including Patrick Swayze. Police said an elderly woman in Palm Beach County, Florida, crashed into a man on a scooter and then kept driving to make her hair appointment. Police said the 77-year-old woman was arrested for leaving the scene of an injury crash. The man suffered abrasions all over his body, but he will survive. You know, she was called the Grey Ghost during her years as a World War II transport ship. But even now, with her service long over, the Queen Mary is still associated with ghosts. Over a dozen apparitions have been reported aboard the ship. And during her 60-plus year history, the Queen Mary was the site of 49 reported deaths. So there are plenty of potential spirits to haunt her hallways. Reported hauntings include a young crewman in the engine room, swimmers in the first-class pool, a man in black, a woman in blue. In a moment, Erica Frost tells us about Ghost Fest 3 on the Haunted Queen Mary. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. This hour we talk about the Haunted Queen Mary. Erica Frost has been intrigued by the paranormal and as a child was able to make contact with the other world. As Erica grew, she started a journey into the astral realm through astral projection. And Erica now uses her gift aboard the Haunted Queen Mary to make contact with the ghosts that inhabit the ocean liner. Erica shows tours and tells people how to acknowledge and communicate with different spirits aboard the ship. Erica, welcome back to Coast. How are you?
Hi, George. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
What a scary job you have.
Some people would say scary. I find it very intriguing.
you like it?
I do.
Doesn't bother you?
No, not in the least bit.
Do you roam the halls of the Haunted Queen Mary by yourself?
Many times I have, yeah.
Have you been scared? Spooked?
Honestly, in the beginning, yeah. It can be a little overwhelming. But now I've been there so long, it seems I like to joke and say you're going to find my spirit there at some point.
One day.
Yes.
That's a long time from now.
Yeah.
What type of haunting are people dealing with aboard the Queen Mary? What's happening there?
Well, there's a number of different types of hauntings that go on there. Everything from imprinted or residual to actual conscious energies where you can actually communicate with, I like to say, a person in transition. So there's all different types.
That ship, of course, during World War II performed admirably, I think, for all of us. And they had, 49 deaths, as I read earlier. Is that pretty accurate?
Well, it's interesting because we have, from what I understand, 54 recorded deaths on the board the Queen Mary from the time she set sail in 1936 to the time she docked in Long Beach. But we don't have access to the records when she sailed during the Grey Ghost time period. So during the military, we don't have access. And during that time period, she was predominantly a troop carrier, but also a hospital ship. So a lot of people could have passed away, and we have no way to get those records.
Kind of paint a visual picture for us, Erica, as we take a tour, let's say, through the Queen Mary. What do you do with the folks who go on the ship? Mm-hmm. Where do you take them, and what do they hear or see?
You know, that's an interesting question because there's no solid answer. It changes so much. I've been there for almost 4 years now. And going Thursday through Sunday night, we start out typically either at the back end of the ship or the front end of the ship, depending on which night you come. And we go through 3 to 4 rooms that are more predominantly active with paranormal activity. And we do different types of experiments, I like to say, ranging from vigils to using dowsing rods to just sitting and seeing what happens. Sometimes people bring scientific equipment. And we have had everything from, you know, that simple minor up, or shiver, I'm sorry, up the spine where you're kind of
sure.
You're not sure, to we've actually had people physically get touched where it's left handprints on the side of the face, scratches on the arm, on the neck. We've witnessed welts. We've witnessed a woman's hair, literally a big chunk of it, lift straight up in the air. And, you know, that was kind of interesting to watch. I don't think she appreciated it much, but we enjoyed watching it.
Did you ever have anyone scream and run off the ship?
Not run off the ship, but absolutely scream. And typically what I found is that once one person screams, the whole entire group screams. So, yeah.
including you? Now, you're used to it.
I am. I'm used to it. And so my job is to keep everybody calm when the chaos breaks out. So
we're not too sure of you, Eric. We're going to keep an eye on you when we're out there. I'm going to be out there Sunday, January 25th from 1 to 3 for a meet and greet on the Queen Mary. And I was there. I did a program there a couple years ago.
Yes.
And Joshua Warren was with me and a number of other guests that you had. Tell me about Ghost Fest 3. What do you do there?
Well, first off, let me say we absolutely loved that you came down a couple years ago, and we're so excited to have you again this year. So thanks for coming. And with Ghost Fest, basically, it's a paranormal exploration of all things strange and supernatural, although predominantly focused on the Queen Mary and the paranormal activity of the Queen Mary. We do have a few guests coming that have investigated all over the country, and they're bringing their area of expertise for people to hear different talks.
Great. Now, is there a favorite ghost or spirit on the Queen Mary?
I think there's a couple. I have one in particular.
You do?
And that would be John. He's our 18-year-old crew member who unfortunately got crushed in watertight door 13. And I'd have to say he's one of our more famous spirits. I think he's hilarious. I kind of call him the Casper of the Queen Mary. And he's just got such an interesting personality. And the way he interacts with the group is just fascinating to
see. What does he do?
Well, keep this in mind. My experience is that, you know, how you are in your physical life is how you are when you're transitioning over.
Okay.
And this is purely just my own opinion and my own experience, so take it for what it's worth. But I have noticed that he's still 18 in his thoughts, and he absolutely loves it when there's a lot of cute young girls that come.
Typical Navy boy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just really interesting to see how the noises of the engine room will shift, or the interaction with the dowsing rods will become so immediate. And he's just funny. He's just very funny.
Why don't they leave, these spirits?
You know, my opinion is that it's different for each person.
Maybe in his case, he's got a good thing going.
Yeah,
huh?
Essentially, he's reached a level of fame that I think maybe his vanity is holding on to. And being that there's no time where he is, at least that's from what I understand, you know, 1966 was when he passed away. And, you know, present day, it's like a blink of an eye. It's the same experience. So why not hang out, you know, enjoy your fame? And, you know, when you're ready to move on, move on. So, yeah, that's one possibility.
It is a huge ship. What are the dimensions? How long is it, do you know?
I can tell you that you can fit almost 2 Titanics inside.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite large. I don't know the exact dimensions, but it's very big.
And it's old.
Very old.
Very old. Now, you've had it remodeled, the cabins and things like that. Because, you know, I remember on the tour, there were a lot of areas there where it looked, you know, you could tell it's an old ship, but it's really clean and things like that. And then down below, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, that's the part that I usually see. But
that's,
yes.
That's where you live, right?
That's basically where I live, yeah.
Demons. Any demonic activity down there?
You know, that's an interesting question and one to be debated, depending upon your belief system, I think. My experience is that I have not run into anything demonic. I have certainly run into some very angry people in this transitional space. And I kind of personally feel like, you know, demons live within us in this physical form. That's my own take on it. I've not run into any demons in my life during any type of paranormal investigations yet, although things can always change.
Absolutely. Now, people spend the night there, right?
Yes. Yes.
Do they freak out? I mean, is there a cabin that is really haunted, one particularly?
You know, we get so many reports of paranormal activity on a nightly basis that it's hard to deem one more haunted than the other. But I can tell you there's one that interests me more recently, and that would be on MDEC. And oddly enough, the number is 13.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been some reported poltergeist activity by two different people independent of one another who did not know of any type of activity going on in these rooms, and it was the same exact experience. So I think that's fascinating.
I had some friends on my last trip there. They came up from St. Louis, and they had a great time, but it did scare them.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I mean, if you're looking for that kind of a thrill,
yeah,
you're going to get it, because it looks that way. And it's kind of awe-inspiring when you first come up to the ship from the outside and you look at it, because it is huge, as you said.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, when did it dock at Long Beach, and how did it get there?
You know, it docked in 1967, and the actual how did it get there to Long Beach, I'm not 100% sure. I know that it went up for auction, and I believe Long Beach was the highest bidder of, I want to say it was around $3 million, but I don't have the exact number. And so they said, okay. They docked it in Long Beach, but there was one stipulation, and that was that it was never to be moved again. So they dismantled the boilers and took everything out of the ship that made her sail. So she has no way of moving again.
No, not at all. And it's beyond the hauntings that occur there. I mean, people go there too. It's like a restaurant too, right?
Oh, yeah. There's three restaurants. And some different lounges and bars, and it's got all types of different things to do.
You know, in a moment too, Eric, when we come back, Erica, after the break, we're going to listen to a couple EVP sounds from the Queen Mary. Those always fascinate me.
You me too? Too. Yes, absolutely. I think if anything sends a shiver up my spine, it's an authentic EVP where you just go, wow, it's amazing.
Absolutely. I also remember, though, that you could hear sounds even without a tape recorder on that ship.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a few rooms on the ship where we get audible interaction without recording it on an EVP. So, and in the different places I've been to, that's the uniqueness of the Queen Mary, is that you actually can get audible interaction.
You know, people were looking around because they would hear sounds and they would think, well, maybe there's some crew person hiding behind something. There was nobody there.
No.
There's nobody there.
Yeah.
When was the first reported haunting on that ship?
I believe I recently heard the first reportings were when she was still sailing in the 50s.
Okay.
Shortly after the war, which is how room B340 kind of came about. And it's a fascinating story that I recently learned about. And so back in the, I think 50s was when it started to become known, but it was very kept quiet. You know, they didn't
want anyone to know that.
Yeah, no, because it was very taboo. I mean, even now today, it's still slightly taboo, but being more and more accepted.
Thanks to you.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you know, nobody has been frightened to the point where they never came back, right?
Not to my knowledge, no. I suppose anything is possible, but it's scary enough that it gives you that thrill you're looking for. But it's I always say it's a safe way to explore the paranormal.
How did the idea of Ghost Fest come about?
Well, you know, it was interesting. A couple years back, we were all just sitting around, and we started chit-chatting about different paranormal possibilities. And my colleagues and I just thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun to do kind of a big conference or a mm-hmm. festival of like-minded people to come and share their different experiences. And, you know, let's invite them all, the scientists, the psychics, the, you know, everybody that wants to talk about paranormal activity. So.
Super. And the Ghost Fest. Now, if people want to come down there that Sunday or even for the whole weekend, what do they do?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go online and reserve a space, or you can just come down. And it's actually free to California residents.
Okay.
The actual Ghost Fest with some of the speakers and the expo that we have going on there. And you just come on down.
Of course, with this program, you might get people from all 50 states.
We would love that.
You never know. And we'll be back in just a moment. We'll listen to some of these EVP sounds. We'll also take your phone calls with Erica Frost next on Coast to Coast. Well, next hour, we begin our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines for you. But when we come back, we're going to take our phone calls with Erica Frost from the Haunted Queen Mary. We'll listen to some of the EVP sounds as well. That's all next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We're going to take your phone calls with Erica Frost from the Queen Mary. We'll listen to some EVP sounds as well for the rest of this hour. Erica, you do have some psychic abilities, don't you?
Yeah, some people would say that.
How did that happen for you?
Well, you know, it's been an interesting experience for me. I've dealt with it when my mother passed away when I was six. She kind of came back to me. That would, I guess, be my first experience. Mm-hmm. But then I had a car accident when I was 20. And after that, things just really changed. I had a near-death experience.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I started seeing things and hearing things and feeling things. I just thought, oh, my gosh, I must be going crazy. As I later did research, I found out, no, this is actually psychic phenomenon, and you're okay.
So. Whoa. Were you laid up long?
No, not about a year.
That's so long.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience.
Let's take some phone calls here. We'll go east to the Rockies. Ron in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hey, Ron.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Hi, Ron.
Something about the Queen Mary you might not know. You know it was used for troop transport World War II, to and fro from New York to Dublin, Ireland.
Yes, actually, I absolutely knew that. And that's, I think, contributing to a lot of the paranormal activity. That's amazing.
Well, the man in charge of the 15,000 troops that were on that boat was my father.
Oh, my.
Wow.
And what he used to do is... I'll tell you a little tidbit after I mention a couple of facts.
Sure.
He passed away Easter Sunday in 2007. He was in the military for 30 years. He'd come out a command sergeant major, but during the early days, that's what they did, stuff like that. So after everything was settled in and the troops were snuggled for the evening, he used to go into the captain's cabin, and he and the captain and the actor David Niven used to play Pinochle. Now, some years ago, 1990, 1989, I asked my father if he was interested in having some lamb to eat. And a friend of mine was a really good cook. He was very adamant about that. And I found out later on that the British fed our troops going over and coming back three times a day, 5 days it took to go over, cold mutton. So mutton was not on the GI's favorite things to eat when they got back stateside. But that's what he did. He was in charge of the troop movements going over back and forth.
Wow, that's amazing.
Synchronicity. Hey, Ron, thanks for that story. Appreciate it. Synchronicity indeed. I'm going to listen to one of our EVP sounds. Now, set the stage for this one for us, if you would, Eric.
Okay.
And this one, he says he likes you. What's the story behind this?
Well, you know, that particular one, I believe, was recorded down in the boiler room. And who this exactly is, we're not 100% sure. But they were, you know, doing the normal EVP run, and what they got back was this male's voice saying, "He likes you." It could have been that he was referring to somebody in the group. But we're not 100% sure.
Somebody talking about you, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that other sailor they were talking about.
Possibly.
All right, let's listen. He likes you. That was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Can we play that again, Danny? All right, here we go.
All right, there it is. It is remarkable. There's clearly a voice there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And, you know, you listen closely enough, you can find out what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure no one heard the voice when you were recording.
No, no, absolutely not. And that's what's so fascinating about the EVPs.
Next up, let's go to Morgan in Anchorage, Alaska, west of the Rockies. Morgan, take it away.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My question was, has there been people with no experiences of ghosts on the ship?
Oh, that's actually a really good question. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people come to the Queen Mary who don't know the ship is haunted and walk away not knowing the ship is haunted. But then there, you know, are times where people do know it's haunted and they're looking for experiences. And just for whatever reason, maybe the stars weren't aligned right that night, or there's too much living activity on the ship. Whatever causes it to not be accessible, they just didn't have an experience with the paranormal. So, yeah, absolutely.
Do you find, Erica, that, let's say, during Ghost Fest, they all come out of the woodwork?
That's a great question. I do think that when we put forth that kind of like-minded energy, it makes it a little easier to connect in with the paranormal activity. So that certainly does help. But also, believe it or not, as strange as it sounds, the conditions also help as far as like weather and the time of night, and believe it or not, the moon cycles and all those crazy things. So yeah, like minds definitely help.
Has anybody been able to record anything on video in terms of visual sightings of ghosts or spirits out there?
Well, we did have a group come down that had a thermal cam mm-hmm. recently, and they captured some interesting evidence of a heated area down in the cargo hold where it's surrounded by very cold water. So there was no way that there should be anything heated down there. And then they went back to try and duplicate it to see if they could get it again, and they weren't able to. So as far as visual footage of like a shadow person walking past, I'm not 100% sure. We have gotten those floaty orbs come through, which those are always, you know, questionable. So
let's go to Miami. Frankie, first-time caller. Go ahead, Frankie.
Hi, George and Erica. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hi, good, thanks.
Good, good. George, I just want to say, awesome show. I got turned on to it by Marty and Victor from Miami, my friends, a few weeks ago.
And super.
Talk about really good stuff, man. Thanks for the show.
You're welcome.
My question is directed towards Erica. I heard you guys talking a little earlier about you having some psychic ability in you naturally.
Uh-huh.
My question to you is this. My whole life, I've always had experiences with paranormal entities. Even if I go somewhere that, you know, I don't even know that's haunted,
mm-hmm.
I'll pick something up and then I'll find out later on. My question to you is, what's the best way to deal with these entities? Because you sound like you're not very afraid of them. I'm terrified, to be honest with you.
I understand. It definitely took some time getting used to this kind of experience. And, you know, if you can think of it this way, they're just people like we are, you know, they're just missing their physical body. There are some different exercises and things like that you can do to kind of help enhance your understanding of your own psychic abilities. There's a lot of books out there that you can read, and just embracing where you are. And also, I've always found that whatever your faith is, when you're feeling frightened, call upon that and you will be fully fine.
Recently, I've been trying out lucid dreaming
mm-hmm.
To gain, you know, to the point of astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a few people mention that's a good way to, a good route to go, but you know, I was just curious how you handle it. You know, I'll take that into consideration, definitely.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I call upon my faith when I'm feeling a little overwhelmed, and I just remember that I hold my boundaries as though I would hold my boundaries talking to somebody in the physical form. So.
You know, if one were to meet you, and I'm sure when they do for Ghost Fest or when they go to the Queen Mary, I bet they expect to see some rough and tough person who's not afraid of anything. And you're not afraid, but you don't look like you fit that part.
Yeah, I get that periodically. I don't know. I just feel like life is too short to be afraid. And so, you know, you just have to embrace it. And we fear things that we don't know. And so the more you try to understand, the less we need to be afraid of.
Let's go to the next EVP, Eric. Tell us the story of I'm Dying.
This one is a hard one for me to hear, because that was captured down in the cargo hold. And the cargo hold during World War II was where they kept the prisoners of war. They actually transported German and Italian prisoners of war.
All right.
Over to New York. And also in that same area, there was a terrible collision between a little aid ship called the Kurosawa and the ship itself, where over 300 Kurosawa sailors passed away.
Wow.
And so I think that's what that might be coming from.
Okay, let's listen to this one. You listen closely, and I'm going to tell you what they say. I'm dying. I'm telling you the answer of what you're going to hear, because it does make it easier for you, especially through the radio. I heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom, that wasn't you with the other mic in the corner, was it? No? All right. Can we listen to that one more time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that was kind of spooky. That one was spooky.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Do you have any children ghosts on this ship at all? Probably not. Would you?
Actually, believe it or not, we do.
Really?
We have a little girl, better known as Jackie, and she's about 7 and a half, and she just kind of flits around the entire ship. more a little bit on the shy side, but very playful.
What's this about swimmer ghosts in first class? Is that going on?
People have reported seeing or hearing splashing in the first class swimming pool, or seeing people in their bathing suits. My personal opinion on that is that it might be imprinted, nothing that is going to actually interact with you consciously. So,
was the pool always there?
Yes.
It was. Yeah. Okay. So the crew members would jump in there once in a while, I assume, right?
Possibly, sure.
Yeah. I don't mean your crew members.
No.
I mean during the war.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, Richard in Las Vegas, west
Hi,
of the Rockies. Richard, good.
Thank you for taking my call. Sorry I missed you. I'll catch you again when you're here.
Okay, yeah.
I had the pleasure of shooting 5 vigorous days and nights on the Queen for a TV series, and I've got the maps of each deck separately. And one day I decided I wanted to have my lunch in peace, so I went to the middle of the ship in that lower Art Deco swimming pool area, where I opened my sandwich up. I heard a little giggly chuckle. I looked over to my right, and by the corner of one of the tiled walls, I saw the face, the head of a little girl. And
ooh.
I didn't see her after that. I must assume it must be this Jackie you're talking about.
Yeah.
I had no idea that this ship was haunted. I just packed everything up, and I went back up to where the crew was. And that ended that, but it was quite a unique experience that I had down there, and I always have enjoyed the Queen very much, and I always try to visit it when I'm out there.
All right. Thanks, Richard. You know, Erica, not a lot scares me. I don't like clowns.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I can agree with you.
It's not like I go, or anything like that. I don't like clowns.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what's creepy. It's the sounds of EVPs of children.
Yeah.
Those creep me out for some reason. I don't know why,
sure.
But they do.
Yeah, I
know
understand.
They're sad, but they still creep me out.
Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't seem natural.
What's the story here of this one, Jackie Laughing?
Well, interestingly enough, that one was captured in the first class swimming pool where the caller was actually sitting. And we believe it to be Jackie.
The little girl.
The little girl, yes. And she's about 7 and a half. And yeah.
You're going to creep me out on this one.
It's a good one.
All right, here we go. Jackie Laughing. Okay, Logan, listen to that one more time. Can we do that one more time, Danny? Well, there was something back there.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
It sounded like Jackie was eating a cricket or something.
I think that one was slightly enhanced so that you could hear it a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
This one was captured by the BIM team, who is kind of the resident scientific team on the Queen Mary.
Okay.
And I was there for that investigation. They were doing their pool investigation, and I do have to say the one thing about the BIM team is they are 100% thorough, and they will double check and cross check everybody's voices. And this one is so interesting to me.
Let's go to North Hollywood. Rick, first time caller. Hey, Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of going on the tour last Sunday with Erica, with a friend of mine.
Okay.
And we had something unusual happen while we were there.
Uh-huh.
We were in the pool room, and the lights completely went out twice while we were there, which Erica says never happens. And my friend and I both had cameras, and when the lights came back on, our cameras would not take pictures of anything until we left the pool room.
No, that's strange. A lot of lectures. And you didn't see Erica over there by the switch or anything.
No. As a matter of fact, I was standing next to Erica, so I knew she didn't have anything to do with it. By the way, I did have a near-death experience there. I saw Erica, and she's so pretty, it damn near killed me.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. All right, next one is, last one, close your eyes. What's this story?
Close your eyes. I believe that one was captured in B340. It's a little bit harder to hear, and it's more of a whisper. And at the same time that you hear this, you almost hear like a little voice underneath it, which may possibly be Jackie. So
Jackie's everywhere on this ship.
She
okay.
is.
Close your eyes. Listen closely. Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah.
Listen again. Close your eyes. Yeah, there it was. I mean, EVP sounds are very difficult in the first place to, one, get, and two, then to listen. It's, you know, it's not like you're going to get a speech recorded in tremendous fidelity, you know? It's not going to happen.
No, I wish.
Next up, let's go to Shirley in Texas City. You're up with us. Go ahead, Shirley.
Yes. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Erica, do you have any people that go on the tour that seem to be sensitive, where they feel that some of the spirits that actually are touching some of the, alive people that are, they're basically asking for somebody to help them to go to the other side, perhaps? That's my question, and I'll hang up. Thanks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful question.
Maybe they want to move on. They need help. They don't know how to get away. Does that happen?
Yeah, actually, we do have a lot of people come on the tours who do psychic work and even practice being a medium. And many times they ask if they can, you know, move someone over, cross someone over. And I always welcome that. It's an interesting thing to witness and experience. And so in answer to that question, yeah, absolutely.
Marianne Ghostbuster, who is a guest on this program, has she ever been there? Do you know? Her name's Marianne.
Not to my knowledge, but possibly.
I mean, she's very good
at
convincing ghosts to go on the other. Of course, if they all went on the other side, then you couldn't have Ghost Fest every year. But tell us again, Ghost Fest 3, it's on the Queen Mary. Mm-hmm. I'll be there January 25th, which is Sunday from 1 to 3. So come on by and say hello.
Yes.
But the event lasts.
Yeah, it's the also the it was the 23rd Friday and the 24th Saturday, as well as the 25th. We have all types of nighttime tours going well into the wee hours, and then we have lots of speakers and some vendors, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
And you can get information by going to coasttocoastam.com, look at the website, click the calendar section there. It's right there in the middle of the homepage, and then click Ghost Fest 3. Rick in Mooresville, Indiana, final caller. Go ahead, Rick, about a minute for you.
Hello, Erica. I was wanting to know if you have to have a near-death experience to be able to sense the paranormal, because I have been sensing things since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you have that experience, Rick, a near death?
No, I
you
did not.
Not.
No. I did not.
I think that in the Erica, you correct me if you think I'm wrong here, but I don't think you need a near death experience to be sensitive. However, those who have near death experiences tend to be more sensitive.
Yeah, I would agree with you, absolutely.
And it is a truly a remarkable job that you do. I guess on one hand it's fun, on the other hand, I mean, what do you do when you go on dates or things with people?
I mean, well, it always makes for interesting conversation.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Do your dates ever like leave the table and not come back? Has that ever happened to you?
No, that hasn't happened yet. Knock on wood.
All right, folks. I'll be back in just a moment. Open lines now on Coast to Coast AM.